Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the radio program this morning. Today is Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, and I'm continuing my chronological study this Thursday on the amazing, incredible book of Revelation. Today is the Millennial Reign of Christ, Part 2. Monday, I introduced the whole concept of the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, the purpose for that. I got into some detail on Revelation 20 about exactly what is going to happen, but this is a vast subject, and I want to include more detail, maybe answer some of your questions today on exactly what is the millennial reign of Christ all about. As I mentioned on Monday, it's about Christ fulfilling covenants for his chosen people in Israel. Really, again, the book of Revelation here is focusing in on the restoration of Israel spiritually and physically, because it's dealing with covenants that were introduced in the Old Testament and will not be fulfilled until the millennium. A very pivotal verse to start this program this morning is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Well, what is God speaking about here? Well, first of all, he says to Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars. This is what's known as the Abraham covenant. Now, something that's not exactly mentioned here, but as you go through the prophets, Isaiah, as an example, more is revealed about how the government will be upon Jesus' shoulders, and he will reign in Jerusalem. In the Davidic covenant, David himself will co-rule with Christ during the millennium. Now, here we see land as the subject as well. There was land given to the Jews under the Old Testament, under the land covenant. What we see here in the millennium will be 10 times more on the new earth than they had, which was on the old earth. So this is a pivotal verse that introduces you to the concept of the millennium. Now, if you want to understand more, which I can't go over right now, just go to Spotify on my platform, and you will see a list of all of the programs in the book of Revelation, and this last program on Monday will be featured there, and you can catch up to what I'm talking about today. In chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, which I taught on a couple of programs to go, Jesus returns, the hope of the church, the solution to all the problems of evil. And saints, we cannot change society. We cannot improve on our earth. We need to stop trying to make a utopia here. When Jesus comes back in Revelation 19, the government will be on his shoulders. He will do away with all evil and suffering because we have our Savior. But in Revelation chapter 19, I want to reiterate something Jesus did when he returns. He steps down onto the Mount of Olives. We are with him. We all are on the Mount of Olives. It's split in half to make a way for the armies to go to Jerusalem to fight against the Jewish people. When Jesus returns in Revelation 19, he builds the millennial temple. Now, the sacrifices aren't starting up again. This is a memorial where we will meet with Christ during the millennium for worship. This is not the re-sacrificial system being instituted again. Jesus fulfilled all of that. This is the millennial temple that's mentioned in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46. Once Jesus does this project, he goes immediately to fight against those armies. And with the spoken word, they're destroyed. He walks through the carnage, the blood-soaked carnage of the kings from the east and the west. He's making his way to the city of Petra. Remember a few chapters ago where God, his remnant people, and hid them in the city of Petra? About 4.5 million Jews were hid away in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Just picture this. Jesus has defeated those armies gathered against Jerusalem. He's walking through the field of carnage. He arrives in Petra, this ancient city. He comes to them in his blood-soaked garments, if you will. This is after the big battle of Armageddon. When the Jewish people see him, they believe he is the Messiah, and they accept him. What a tremendous fulfillment of biblical prophecy in Romans chapter 11, and all Israel shall be saved. Point, Jesus takes his remnant people, and they go back to Jerusalem. They enter into the eastern gate of the new millennial temple on Yom Kippur of all times. It's God's perfect appointed time. And he enters into the Holy of Holies. And there, in the Holy of Holies, God gives the Jewish remnant the new covenant. And in Zechariah 3:9, it says that the remnant of these Jewish people from Petra are all saved in one day. What a tremendous fulfillment of prophecy. What a glorious, glorious future for the remnant that came from Petra. Now, there are questions here. Return of Christ with his people from heaven, they are in their glorified, resurrected bodies. Those that survived through the tribulation. That's an interesting question. There will be some that live through the tribulation. These groups, the Gentiles, and of course the Jewish survivors of Petra, both of these groups are still in their mortal bodies. They don't have resurrected, glorified bodies. Now, they will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom, but they're going to enter it in their mortal bodies. And the one thing that sustains these believers in their mortal bodies is they will partake of something called the Tree of Life, which is mentioned a couple of times in the book of Revelation. They will survive the millennium by eating of the Tree of Life. These leaves are for the healing of the nations, their medicine. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. John is recording this, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, and the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, John writes, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. How very unique. The Gentile and Jewish survivors of the tribulation are still in their mortal bodies. They will have children, believe it or not. That's recorded in chapter 65 of Isaiah, Isaiah 65:20. And the children, Isaiah writes, will live to about 100 years of age. And what is so unique here is the children born during the millennium will have the responsibility to either accept or reject Jesus. If they reject him, well, they will be sent to Hades. It's a holding place until the great white throne judgment. But if they receive Christ, of course, they will be entering the millennial kingdom as believers, and they will survive all by eating from the tree of life forever. So the question is, which I answered partly on the last program, what is the millennial kingdom going to be like? If we go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus talked about the regeneration. And what Jesus is referring to there is the restoration of the earth, like the Garden of Eden. And so we see here what was once paradise lost in Eden, when our first parents sinned and brought death and suffering. Here in the restored millennial kingdom, we have a picture again of the great Garden of Eden. It's a restoration of earth. It's not the recreation of the universe yet. That's to come. This is the restoration. So the millennial reign is going to be on a restored earth, much like the Garden of Eden. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 mentions again that the government rests upon the shoulders of Jesus. So in the millennium, Jesus' governmental rule will be over the entire earth. It is a worldwide rule. And the amazing thing about this rule is that we, his bride, are going to rule with a rod of iron. If you ever wondered what our jobs and responsibilities are going to be in the millennium, it's already been revealed in the book of Revelation. We're going to rule with a rod of iron. How do I know? Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 through 27. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. What a magnificent promise. Those that overcome, and the overcoming idea is those that have faith in Christ, 1 John chapter 5, who is an overcomer but he that believes that Jesus is the Christ? To the one who conquers and keeps my works until the end, that is faithful, Jesus promises to give us authority over the nations. And here in the millennium, we will rule them with a rod of iron. It also says that in Revelation 3:21. So that's just a picture of this glorious future reality. But now, however, if you're faithful in reading all of the book of Revelation in chapter 20, which I covered in part last Monday, you know there's going to be an uprising at the end of the 1,000 years. And let's read about that right now. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You may be asking, Randy, this is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. this absolute reign of righteousness and peace. What on earth is going on here? Well, when the 1,000 years are ended, it says, Satan will be released from prison. That's after. Why? Why is he released? Well, because God wants Satan, this is his plan, to tempt the hearts of those people, these millennial survivors, to sort out the true believers from the false believers. He wants Satan to have the opportunity to tempt and sort out true believers from false believers, that is, the possessors from the professors. Some of the children born during the millennium, some of them are going to sin and rebel against Jesus. This is the final uprising, though, of course, the Lord for that. Revelation 20 verse 9 says, Satan gathers all false believers and causes them to make war against the true believers right here in the city of Jerusalem. But notice what God does. This happens very quickly. Fire comes down from heaven, devours them. Verse 10, Satan is thrown into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and false prophet already are. That's the end of Satan. In Revelation 12, when he was finally cast out of heaven's presence, the scripture says he is ready to make war because he knows his time is short. Well, now his time is ended here in Revelation 20, verse 10. Notice that he's thrown into the lake of fire. Matthew 25, verse 41 is very clear about this, that the lake of fire is reserved for the devil and his angels. That's very interesting. Scripture declares that the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. This is not Hades. This is the lake of fire. Hades is the holdover place, the prison, before one faces God at the white throne judgment and is cast into the lake of fire. So what that says is that the lake of fire was never made with humans in mind. But if anyone goes to the lake of fire, it is because they chose to do so, that they chose to follow Satan instead of Christ. It was by an act of their free will, if you will. And that's the reason why many unbelievers go to the lake of fire. This is very interesting because in Revelation 20, at the great white throne judgment, which is separate from the first resurrection, you notice that the books are opened, the books of life are opened, and that they were judged by their works. Now, why? We as believers are judged by one thing, whether or not we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. As believers, we will go to the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, and we will be rewarded for our faithfulness. What we've done after salvation, the good that we did, the works that we performed, the things that we did for Christ, for his glory. Now, we will also suffer loss if our motives were impure, and we really weren't doing it for the glory of God. But believers are judged by their works after salvation. These people here in Revelation 20 at the great white throne are judged by their works alone because they have rejected Christ. And in rejecting Christ as their Lord and Savior, God will show them how their works are never enough to appease his wrath. Their works would never be enough to obtain righteousness. So he judges these unbelievers by their works alone. When we come to Christ, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man boast, because we are created for good works in Christ Jesus. These unbelievers in the great white throne judgment that will be cast into the lake of fire, they will be shown, since you didn't receive Christ who did and performed the work for your salvation, I will judge you by your works alone and show you how inadequate those works are. And they are cast into the lake of fire. Well, today on the broadcast, we have taken a close upfront look of the millennium, the rule of Christ during that thousand-year reign on the earth. This is Revelation chapter 20. This has been part two. And this has given us a glimpse at this incredible future that we are going to experience when we return with Christ in Revelation chapter 19. This has been amazing. This has been exciting. And you think, well, how do I fit into this? Do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior? Have you bowed your knee, your life to him? There is no hope for you apart from Christ. He is the risen Lord Jesus. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every other false prophet and religious leader has died and is still in the grave. Jesus rose again on the third day, conquering death, hell, and Satan. There is no hope apart from him. And so if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, today is the day for you to do that. And when you do, your name is in that book of life, and you have a reservation in heaven. There is nothing more important, especially at this time in history with this pandemic and virus and all of this uncertainty, there is nothing more important than your decision to follow Christ. And so I urge you today, call upon him and receive him into your heart as Lord and as Savior. I want us to take just a couple of minutes to hear this beautiful worship song from Chris Tomlin that talks about Jesus reigning forevermore. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Frozen like
He shall reign forevermore. When the book of Revelation finishes chapter 20, we get into the recreation of the new heavens and the new earth. It's a beautiful, beautiful teaching, which we will cover on our next broadcast. Again, I want to encourage you, for those of you that are listening, the importance of following this teaching and reading the book of Revelation. It's a wonderful promise. Way back in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. This sums up why this is so important for us at this time, for you and me, to be studying, to be listening to it, to be hearing it taught, but obeying it, taking to heart its content, because the time is near. It's imminent. And the next imminent event on the horizon is the rapture of the church. I believe in the pre-trib rapture of the church, because I believe Scripture is very clear on the teaching that the church has not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation in Jesus Christ. So again, if you're listening to this series, understand the promise in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those that study, hear, and keep the words of this prophecy, because the time is near. The time has been near, I think, since 1948, when the Jewish people returned to their homeland, or began returning, and Israel became a nation. I believe that that is very focal. It's a signpost on the nearness of the rapture of the church. I want to say thank you so much for joining me today on the Cross in the Desert. Have a very safe weekend, and I will see you again on Monday. God bless you. Have a great day.